I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. We say this, and I lead you in it, because I'm believing with you that you will not just join and watch and listen to these and not benefit from it. It's working in you. Because these are not just my ideas and my words. This is the Word of God. And the Spirit of God is helping us with it. So by the Word and by the Spirit, it is making a difference in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm growing.
I'm growing.
I'm developing.
I'm developing.
I'm getting stronger.
I'm getting stronger.
I am
an overcomer.
Father, we thank you so much for being so good to us. You do all things so perfectly well. What a privilege and honor it is to know you, to be chosen of you, to be part of your forever family. Thank you, gracious good God. We ask for the utterance and anointing and answers and direction for today and this week, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Look, please, again in Psalm 23. We're continuing in our study that we're calling Faith for Provision. Faith, and when I say faith, I mean faith in God. It's actually a degree or measure of God's own faith. The faith that we have to believe and trust God with comes from Him. It comes right out of Him. It's the same faith He created the worlds with. It's the same faith He created the universe with, just not on that scale. He's given us measure, a measure of it. And it is precious. Is anybody thankful for God giving you a measure of His own faith that He created the universe with? That faith is in us. And we're feeding it. And if we'll use it, it'll develop and get stronger. And here's the thing. It doesn't stop with this life. All the faith you develop in this life, you're going to take with you into the next life. And then without the distractions and hindrances of this world, you're going to take off in your development. Hallelujah. And you talk about your faith was here when you started, and then by the time you left this life, it had got up to here. And then later on, it's just going to soar and sail. And who knows what God's going to have us doing, because all things are possible to him or her that believes. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And what I was saying, though, is that faith works the same way. But just because you have faith in one area doesn't mean you have faith in all areas. Tell me how faith comes. Romans 10:17, it comes by hearing. Well, if you have heard a lot about that God loves you and that Jesus paid the price so you don't go to hell and that you're going to heaven, if you've heard that all your life, you have faith for that. But if you've never heard that God will heal you, you have no faith for that. Even though you have faith here, you don't have faith there. And if you've never heard that God always wants you to have abundance, then you'll have no faith for that. Which is why I want you to have it.
Yes.
And we're giving you reason after reason, not my thinking, not somebody else's thinking, the Word of God. What he said about this, so that you and I come to the place where we are absolutely, fully persuaded.
Yes.
Thoroughly.
Yes.
Convinced.
Yes.
Right? Completely convinced. So that we are no longer wavering about it. And when you get to that place, things will start changing in your life. Things will begin to happen that don't happen for everybody else. You'll ask God for things and you won't waver and you'll believe for them and you'll get them and you'll sow seed and you'll reap harvest and miracles will happen for you. They will not happen if you're still guessing and wondering whether it's His will or not. You got to get that settled. And that's where our part comes in. That's where, if you want to call it that, where the work comes in. And that's why day after day after day, you hear me going, good morning, class. What are we doing? Well, we're on it again, right? On what? This world is full of junk. It's full of lies. It's full of confusion. It's full of darkness. It's full of deception. And a lot of it has gotten in the church. And so we need to continually be examining what we're thinking and hearing and believing. How can you know whether it's okay or not? We have a standard. We got a standard. We got something to measure it by. Oh, hallelujah. And when you get a foundation like what we're talking about doing, reason number one, number two, number three, number four, number 10, number 20, number 30, at some point you ought to go, that's in the Bible, right? It's there, right? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. So that's what we're doing. And so our reasons begin with number one, the Lord's my shepherd. Number two, the goodness of God. Number three, the fatherhood of God. Number four, the creation of God. Number five, God's will in heaven. Number six, the God of Abraham. Number seven, we are the seed of Abraham. Number eight, the blessing of tithing. Now, if you didn't get those, go online. Go to faithschool.org and they're there. You can watch them, listen to them, hear them. Don't cost you anything. You don't even have to commit to anything. Don't have to sign up for anything. Go get them. Enjoy them. Build just what we're talking about. Build up your faith. And we got now to reason number nine. Reason number nine, why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Say it out loud. Abundant provision,
is always
God's will
for us all.
Now, if you take the other side of that, what does that mean? It means poverty is never the will of God for anybody. Now, I know that's a strong thing to say. People say, well, I just don't believe that. Okay, where's your 30 biblical reasons for what you believe? Where is it that God told you He enjoys seeing His people suffer in poverty? And that's one of His main tools He likes to use to develop and teach us. Where's it at? No. See, people have allowed the Word of God to be made of no effect in their life. They have replaced the Word with religious tradition. Well, I have a right to my beliefs. Actually, you don't. If Jesus is your Lord, you're not supposed to just make up stuff and believe it. You're supposed to believe what He told you to believe, and that's it.
That's right.
Didn't the Scripture say, if you add to it or you take away from it, you could be removed, right? You don't change what He said. And that's what we're seeking to do. We want to say exactly what He said and stay with it. And besides that, it blesses you. It makes you free. It helps you out. Hallelujah. Along this line, helps you get your bills paid. So Proverbs, if you would, the third chapter, our ninth reason why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all is because of honor and riches. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your substance. The word honor literally means heavy or weighty, and it has to do with how much you esteem something, how much you value something. And what's he talking about? Valuing and esteeming? The Lord, right? Honor the Lord, but then he says in a specific way, with your substance. Now that word substance, some 17 or so times in the same King James Bible, is translated either riches or wealth. And you'll find a number of the modern translations, they translate it wealth. And that's what it is. And so it's entirely accurate and precise to say it this way. Honor the Lord, or you could say glorify the Lord, with your riches, with your wealth. Well, you got all kind of church-going people don't believe that you're supposed to have anything to do with wealth. Or, you know, like we were saying yesterday, ooh, you don't want any of that old filthy lucre. Well, we studied last session that what that means is shameful gain. It's not the money that's the problem. It's the way you got it. It's lying. It's defrauding. It's crossing the line. It's not what you have. It's how you got it. And if your heart's right, you don't love money more than you do God. And so you wouldn't want anything in your life that God wasn't pleased with. And you want it to come His way. You don't want it at any price or by any means. You want it His way, His time, right? His will. Go ahead and say it out loud. Lord, I'm not an idolater. I don't have other gods. You are my God. And I don't love anything more than you. I don't love money. I don't love things. I love you above all. And I want anything and everything that would come into my life to come only according to your will, your way. In Jesus' name. That's it. I only want it your way. And if you don't want it for me, I don't want it. And sometimes you have to tell your flesh that, because your flesh and your unrenewed mind can want things it shouldn't want. That's why your mind needs to be renewed. And so I like the phrase that was prophesied about the Master that he used himself, where he said, I delight to do thy will, O God. I delight. That's not based on your feelings. That's a choice. Yes. And so there'll always be at some point in your life where you want something that's not His will. Yeah. People say, never. Oh, yeah. Don't play holier than that with me. If Jesus had to pray, not my will, but yours be done, you know you're going to have to, right? And there can be some points and places where you got your eyes on something, and the bottom line is, it's not God's will for you. He didn't want that for you. And so when you come to that point, and sometimes, you know, people have made plans, and, oh, I always wanted that, and I always wanted to do that. And if you really commune with God, there'll be times where He says, I don't want you to do that. And your flesh will cry and go, yeah, but that was I always wanted. Always. And you need to get a hold of yourself and say this: I delight to do your will, O God. And what that is, it's an act of faith. It's an act of submission. It's an act of trust in His knowledge. I know years ago, I came to a point of a thing like that. And I was dealing with my own feelings. And the Lord revealed to me that phrase, I delight to do your will, O God. And I thought, well, now, of course, God made me. He knows far better than me what He made me for. Right? And what works with me and what I work with and what doesn't. And I got this amazing revelation. God's smarter than me. Huh? You might say, I knew that already. Do you? Do you? You can know it better. What do you mean? If he says this is not what I want you to do, he knows. He's right. I can trust him. That means there's something better for me. Right? And I don't need to cry and mourn over this, because that's not trusting him. Come on, can you see this here? Somebody say, I trust him. And so you can do that. You can do that with your flesh as a choice, and words of faith will help you so much. In my life personally, it has happened both ways, where I was focused on this. I thought, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. And when I really started praying about it, and I saw the Lord said, no, I don't want you to do that. And sometimes, you know, people have invested a lot of thought and a lot of planning, which is a mistake. And what I've learned, don't make a bunch of big plans. A lot of times you just have to die to them anyway. You want to go to him, get the plan from him, right? That one you won't have to die to. But what I saw is, I'm thinking, I'm going to do that. Oh, yeah, that's my thing. And the Lord said, no, I don't want you to do that. And I can go, right. You don't like it? I don't like it. And your flesh is going, you do like it. Say, shut up. No. No. If the Lord doesn't want it, I don't want it. Is that right? It's an act of my will. And I'm saying he's smarter than me. He made me. He knows. If he says that's not the way, even though I can't see it, he's right. He's right. He made me. He knows. And so I can say, right. Nope. I don't want it. If you don't want it, I don't want it. And even if your flesh is crying, you say, shut up. I don't want it. And then a few years later, a thing happened the other direction. Is that I had said for years that a certain thing wasn't my ministry. And that wasn't, you know, I did this. This wasn't my ministry. And then the Lord said, I want you to do that. And I'm like, huh? Because I had said for years, that's not me. That's not my ministry. He said, no, I want you to do that. I swallowed hard and then I said, right. Right. Lord, now that you've mentioned it, that's just what I want to do. And my mind is going, no, you don't. And I said, shut up. Shut up. And it's one of the greatest things we've ever done. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can you trust him? And so what we're saying here is, you know, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Money is not the problem. It's never been the problem. Nice stuff is not the problem. Is God against a nice item? A nice house? A car that's built with excellence and precision? Why would God be against that? He's the one that gave men and women the revelation to know how to build it. Or they'd have never been able to build it. Can you see this? Yes. It's not the stuff. It's not the money. It's never been the money. It's the heart. Right? Yes. It's the heart, and it's what you love. And it's what you love more, what you love most. Say it again, I love God. Not money. Not stuff. And I delight to do your will. Oh God. Hallelujah. Let me help you practice a little bit. There's something you thought you wanted to do for years, and you just found out the Lord said, no, I don't want you to do that. Help me out. What do you say? Oh, that's weak as can be. You say, right. Right, Lord. You don't want it? I don't want it. You don't like it? I don't like it. I delight to do your will, oh God. There will be some places in your life where your will is not in alignment with his. There will be. Not might be, not could be, will be in everybody's life. And the thing is, you want to make the right choice and you want to do exactly what the master did. Not my will, but your will be done. Now let's come at it from the other way. There's some things that you always thought, oh man, that ain't my thing. That is not my thing. Oh no, that's not my grace. That's not my thing. And the Lord says, I want you to do it. Help me out. What do you say?
Right.
What do you say? Right.
Right.
Right. You like it?
I
I like it, right? You want me to do it? I want to do it. Is that, come on, say it out loud. I delight to do your will. Oh, God. Why? He's smarter than me. He made me. He knows what I was made for. And when you follow him, you'll find it out and you'll think, oh, God, what was I dragging my feet on that for? You know? This is because you didn't know. There's so much you don't know. And he won't tell you everything because he wants to see some faith out of it. He wants to see that you trust him, that you trust his wisdom, you trust his plan. And you'll do something just because he told you to. When you don't understand it at all, and part of you don't even want to do it, but you'll do it because you trust him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. And so when we're talking about honor and wealth, or honor and riches, we see that this is connected, and that the Lord didn't see the money, the gold, the stuff as bad. In fact, in Genesis, when he created everything, right in the beginning of the word, he says, now over here there's gold. And the gold's good. Really? Well, you know, U.S. currency used to be based on the gold, right? And those kind of things. And so it's just a paper certificate that was supposed to be representing a precious metal. And so God said gold is good. Well, to hear some folks preach and talk, oh, it's filthy lucre, filthy lucre. No, it's not what you have, it's how you got it. And when Jesus arrived into the earth, I mean, his parents, there's not an indication that they were real wealthy before he was born to Mary. But yet, in Matthew 2, not long after Jesus was born, when he's a young child, it said that the wise men saw the star, and they took a long journey, and they came to the house where the young child was, and they fell down and worshiped him. Is this honor?
Yes.
It is. Are they honoring him and glorifying him? And, somebody say and. And they opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold. Really? Was that planned of God?
Yes.
Is this a good thing?
Yes.
You know, not long after this, the angel appeared to Joseph and told him that the child's life was in danger and for them to leave. Well, how many know it takes money to just pull up and relocate everything and then get a place in a new town, a new country and all that? And then a while after that, the angel said, threats passed, you can go back. So then they relocated again. You got to have money, right?
Yeah.
Money for moving and houses and relocating and setting up your business again and all these kind of things. Well, was the Lord setting them up by sending people from, maybe thousands of miles away? You talk about miracles. A star. God put an amazing, big, bright star and caused these wise men to go, uh-huh, that was the fulfillment of prophecy. We got to load up. And they had a train of camels. This is not, you know, we have these little pictures and Christmas plays and, you know, and people in strange looking long robes, and they come and they have a little jewelry box about that big, and they go, whoopee, you know. No, these were some of the wisest and richest. Now, at some point we're going to get to, that's one of our reasons in our 30 is wisdom and riches. They go together. And these men were well known. They were internationally known. And they were super wealthy. And they came, you know, in those days especially, if you traveled you didn't wire funds when you got to the place, and you didn't carry your gold card or whatever. No, you carry the gold. The gold on camels and donkeys. And then when you got several million or several tens of millions in gold and silver and precious metals, you better have some security. Huh? And so this was quite an assembly. This would have been numerous camels, numerous donkeys, and then who knows, scores of armed soldiers, horseback and walking on foot, and they roll up to Jesus' house. Can you see this? Because they want to show
honor
and not just talk. Come on, can you see this? Honor the Lord with your wealth. Is that what they did?
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did. See, Joseph and Mary, they had no idea who these people were. They'd never met them. They're from multiple countries away. And that must have been quite the sight when they come, right? I mean, people would have known before they ever got to their house. They said, did you see this bunch coming down the road? Well, who are they? What are they? And so they came to your town, and then they turned on your block, and then they stopped at your street in your house. And they said, we're looking for the one that the star indicates. He was born here at this time. And they go, you got the right house. So they all got out, and the servants went back, and they unbuckled the camels and the donkeys, and they would have these bars of gold and these bars of silver and these boxes full of precious jewels, and they financed Jesus' family for who knows how long. Can you see this?
Yes.
Hallelujah. See, tradition has robbed us of that. And tried to turn it into something and turn it into nothing. No, God has always connected honor and wealth, glory and riches. And He wants you and I to have some resources today too. Is that right? To honor Him, to honor His Word, His church, do His ministry the way it should be done. Come on, somebody say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not lack.
I will have plenty.
We will have more than enough
wealth
and riches to honor God
in
Jesus'
name.
Well, our time's up again today. Come back tomorrow. There's a lot more to see here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today. But you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.